Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer with Reach TV, and I am so excited for multiple reasons to have Devin Hester here on the Playbook. We're here at the Super Bowl, brother, and you are the crunch time hero. But I got to tell you, you're one of my personal heroes as well. You're everything I wanted to be. I was a below average college punt returner.
Okay.
And 147 pounds. I thought it was fast until I saw you and Deion Sanders return a punt. And then I said, okay, there's a different league going on. It's kind of like when Bo Jackson turns the corner in front of you. You're like,
exactly.
Or Tiger Woods hits a ball. You're like, that's a different game than I knew.
Just something special about it.
You're a special individual, both on and off the field. And I want to thank you for coming on the Playbook. We'll start with the Crunch Time Hero side stuff. Because
okay.
Mark and the crew have always found players that may not be quarterbacks.
Gotcha.
And they're looking for people that have great impact on the field, but also off the field to elevate their brand.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's so important, even if we're not playing anymore.
Right.
As a Hall of Famer, been blessed to represent Mark in the Hall of Fame. We were your business partner for so many years. And you're someone that's always stood off the field. What are some of the things you're doing today to impact people off the field?
So right now, I have three boys.
You got three girls.
Three girls.
But I gotta worry about a whole bunch of boys. You'll have to worry about three.
Three boys. I got three boys right now, and the two youngest ones are playing ball,
right
playing on. Football. And I got a 16-year-old.
I got a 15-year-old son.
13-year-old.
Nice.
And a 7-year-old. And so the two younger ones are kind of getting more active in sports. The oldest one is running track. The two younger ones playing football. And so the middle one started playing football and wanted me to coach him up when he was about 4 years old. So I started coaching him up, and then eventually coaching his team. And so I've been doing that since he's been 4 years old now. He's 13 now. So I've been coaching his team, and I started a nonprofit organization for the team. And every year we raise money, and I get an opportunity to take the kids and fly them all to different states, let them get a play against other teams in different states. States and things like that, and kind of just show them how it is outside of their realm and their culture, where they're used to being all the time.
And where are you guys living right now?
We're in Orlando right now.
Oh, right on. So
yeah.
Besides last week, that's a great place to live. It was colder than Alaska, wasn't it?
It is, man. It is. All the plants are dying right now.
What position are the boys playing on?
So they right now, they just kind of play all over the place.
All place.
Yeah, they just quarterback, receiver, running back, DB, safety, kickoff, punt, return. They do it all right now.
So, you know, even though I was a below average college football player, I probably learned more about life and business playing football.
Right.
And one of the lessons that I learned, especially in college, I was very emotional as a punt returner, kick returner. So if I screwed up, I was like way down.
Yeah.
If I got toasted, I was a weak corner, very weak corner.
Uh-huh.
But if I got toasted, I was like all that roller coaster. My coach he's from Indiana, and he just kept saying, just keep playing.
Right.
And I can't tell you, I'm 58 years old, and 2008, lost over $100 million, went bankrupt. And I remember the first thing I said to myself was just keep playing.
Yeah, right.
Not everybody makes it over $100 million.
Facts.
You could keep playing.
Keep playing.
And that advice got me back to where I made more money and helped more people than I ever have. Is there something that you take away from football that you use in your life, a lesson, a story, something that really allows you, maybe you tell your kids too,
yeah,
like just keep playing?
Yeah, I had a situation with a coach. That was always getting on him,
yeah,
right? And it would be
they
time.
Call that bullying today, but
right,
I think
right,
he was just trying to help
but,
you.
But in this situation, it would be, I would see another kid do the exact same thing I did, and he wouldn't say nothing to that kid, right? But every time I did something out of the ordinary, he would get on me. And so as a kid, I didn't understand. So I stepped to him, I'm like, coach, every time I do something, you're always getting on me.
Yeah.
But I see all these other kids, they do stuff, and you never say nothing. And he looked me in the face, he said, Devin, it's a reason why I get on you. Then I get on those kids. He say, when somebody stop getting on you, then it's really a problem.
Right.
But then they don't care about you. But when somebody gets on you and they see you do something, but they see the other kid do something, it's because he sees more potential in you and you're special. That's why. And when that never registered until I got older.
Mm-hmm.
But as a kid, I never understood it. Mm-hmm. But the older I got, it hit me. And now to this day, I use the same quote to my sons.
Yeah. And how do they take, you know, it's a different generation.
Right.
I have a 15 and a half year old son, and, you know, nobody likes feedback in the present.
Right.
It's a rule of mine.
Yeah.
Like, even me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people give me feedback about interviews or my podcast, and I don't like it in the present.
Right, right,
but
right.
I'm old enough now to think about it and say, does this resonate with me? Is it right. bothering me a lot? Because it actually may be something I need to work on.
Right.
And so from there, for you, giving feedback to the kids today, a lot of them are more sensitive. Have you seen that difference in your own boys or the other boys that you coach, that there's too much hypersensitivity?
Yeah, it is. And as a player, I feel like what benefits a great coach nowadays is a coach that experienced that growing up. Because now and I learned as a player, you can't coach everybody the same.
Like,
some players are used to yelling at them for them turning on. Some players, if you yell at them, they turn it on.
Yeah.
So as a person, as a coach, I experienced that. And so now I know how to approach each kid on my team because I know them and I know what they can handle and what they can't handle. And it just makes you a better coach when you learn your players and know what they can handle and what they can't handle.
Now, if you look back to our Rams game before the Super Bowl, the punt returner certainly was exposed as a critical component of the game.
Right, I remember.
And for me, too, I've had a few experiences where, you know, you're the only one back there. In the old days, too, just so people know, mm-hmm. when Devin returned punts, there's different rules.
Right.
Right? And, yeah. You know, and the worst thing when I was in college returning punts was when you get just blasted.
Yeah.
And then you're... short guy up front is like this.
Uh-huh.
Like, because he missed the block.
Right, right.
You know you're going to take a beating.
You're right.
There's a lot of things protecting punt returners. But when you're analyzing that play, that unfortunate play where it kind of slips, and then would you have tried to catch the ball while you were falling, or would you try to get out?
I would have tried to get out of the way.
Me too.
You know, but it's a learning curve. You know what I mean? Because it's so much pressure back there. People don't realize how much pressure it is.
No pressure can break you.
It's so hard to catch a punt when you fail catch compared to returning the ball. It's just a different thing. It's like being in the land of a basketball game championship and you're wide open on a fast break. Like, you're so terrified, you know right. what I mean? After you know you don't did it 1,000 times. And like I say, back there, that punt return, man, and all eyes on you and you're the only one to blame. It's a different atmosphere. And, you know, you just got to make the best of it, to be honest with you, man.
It is so true. And when you look at force and counterforce, there's the upside of it as well. And as much as you can't explain to people the pressure and the loneliness of when you do mess up a punt, which you very rarely did. But the other side of it, it may be one of the greatest feelings in the world.
Yeah.
Because especially when you win the game through your team.
You win a game.
And you've done it so many times, more than any other player in history. You're turning punts for touchdowns, winning games. And it's not just the touchdowns, but putting the team in a position, understanding the importance of field position, the value of the extra 15 yards that you would get on a punt is incredibly. Today, you'd be paid 10 times as much.
Oh, man. Facts.
That's when you were 14 now as an NIL guy.
Right, exactly.
I'm sure your kids are getting up already.
Yeah.
But to be able to mirror that feeling, a lot of people that have these great successes, you see it in entertainers, punt returners, quarterbacks, they have a lot of difficulty after the game because you can't mirror, and they get into, and personally for me, with the success that I had financially, I got involved with alcohol and drugs at a young age afterwards because I was trying to replicate that feeling.
Right.
And I used to say to people, I tried to fill up a God-sized hole with everything but God.
Right. Yeah. You can't do that.
And I see punt returners like you and Hall of Famers like you have to fill that God-sized hole when they finish playing because you can't explain that feeling.
Right.
What have you filled your God-sized hole with?
I think giving back to the kids.
Nice.
I think that's what it is because as a player, you've been playing it for so long to you kind of lose a passion and a part of it kind of goes away. And that's the reason why I kind of retired because the love for the game just kind of, it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
And I would question myself when I was going to practice and going to work, like, well, I'm still doing it. And I don't feel it. I don't feel that excitement. Pre-game warm-ups, I don't feel that energy and that enthusiasm. And so when I started coaching my son when I started coaching him at home and letting him play, and I would watch him and he would do something that I taught him, and that passion and love for that game just filled up my body. And then I was like, wow, I want to do this to other kids, so not just mine, you know? And so when I did that, and then now for me, the passion and the love that I get that burns inside me is when I coach kids up and then I see them do exactly what I told them to do in practice, you know? Then first they question it, you know what I mean? They don't understand it. You know, sometimes they go out and mess up on it because they want to do it on their own. But when they do it the way I taught them, tell them to do it, and they come at me smiling like, wow, coach, you was right. that's the passion that drives me to continue to give back to the kids.
You know, so interesting about, I've been around a lot of Hall of Famers, because I really, Steinberg and Warren and Moon had, Warren Moon and I had sports more marketing, and Warren didn't like to coach. He got offered every coaching position.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to say, what do you think it is, Dave? I said, because there's a difference between a mentor, a teacher, and a coach. A mentor, like I mentor in business, all I'm doing is giving people directions. Right. I paid the dummy tax. A teacher has to explain the directions that I give.
Right.
But a coach is a special individual. Just because Warren Moon knows more about being a quarterback than almost anybody on earth, and I will tell you, he does.
Right.
He can't coach because he doesn't have the intangible that you have, which is bringing the best out of people. That's what a coach is there to do. So Tiger Woods' coach is not as good as him in golf, but he brings the best out of Tiger.
Right.
And so for you, how special is that when you get to see that you did bring the best out of one of your kids playing football?
It's always an honor, you know what I mean? Because I have so many parents that, like, you don't touch my kid just on the field.
Yes.
You touch them in the classroom. You know what I mean? And what I say about that, coaches, they come to me and say, I never seen my son bring grades home like this. Or they say, you know what I mean? Coach, man, I got a B, I got an A on my test. Like, and I always tell them, like, listen, man, as good as you are in football, why not be the same in the classroom? Like, why? Who cares about the class clown?
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, class clown going to be that same guy on the side of the street at the red light with a sign in his hand, asking for help. I said, that's the class clown, because guess what? When you talk to that guy now, he's going to tell you, I wish I would have paid attention in school. I wish I would have studied. I wish I would have took my grades and my tests and stuff like that serious. So being that type of cool guy, it don't get you nowhere. And so when I realized that I started touching a lot of kids, not only in the field, but off the field, that's when I said, this is, you know, everybody have their own calling and everybody have their own passion, what they like to do in life. And this is my free time. Like I try to, you know, I got a 501c3 where I raise funds. And like I said, I give these kids an opportunity to get on the plane that they never been on before. To go 2-3 hours away from their neighborhood that they've never been to. You know what I mean? I buy birthday presents for these kids. You know what I mean? I give them gifts. I do all type of things out of love because I don't want no credit for it. I don't brag about it. I don't tell nobody. But when I do it deep down inside, and it's like I'm giving back on what I was once was. I was that kid before. I was that kid before that went home and then didn't know what was eating for lunch or what we're eating for dinner. So I do a lot of things like that, and I do it because it makes me feel proud deep down inside.
Well, I'm proud of you, and I've seen you play for years, and more proud even what you're doing off the field. In the Hall of Fame, they talk about the legacy of what you've done in the game, but the true legacy is what you do for others. And you're doing so much for the future and the future generation, not just your own kids, but the entire community. Support Devin Hester, support his foundation. He's a hero of mine. He's a crunch time hero as well. We're blessed to have him here on the Playbook on Reach TV. Devin Hester, thanks for joining me.